Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Well, we got a studio full of people here today.
We do.
And we have one thing we've never had in the studio before.
I wasn't going to say it yet.
Well, I can't ignore
you can't, it. You can't ignore it.
It's a foot tall green.
And I've already stuck my finger in it a couple times.
That's what that is.
Okay. It is.
A little on your face, too.
Oh! And it's not St. Patrick's Day.
No, so, but we'll tell you about what we're talking about there in just a minute.
But yeah, here's the riddle for you. What would be green, but is not lime, and it's not related to St. Patrick's Day? What flavor might that be? Think about that, listeners, and we'll answer that in a few minutes.
Well, before we get going here, just thank the Northside Knights of Columbus again. From time to time, they have brunches, I guess you'd call them, on Sunday mornings, and it's a free will thing where people, as many people as want to, can come, bring their family, and it's not a fixed price, just a free will offering. And each time they have one, they donate the proceeds to a local charity. And just recently, they were kind enough to donate the proceeds to Catholic Radio. So I want to thank them very much for that. That helped us out a whole bunch.
And you know, I think about it, it's hard to believe this is July already. We're July 4th. We're in the middle of July 4th week as we speak. Is that crazy or what?
Wow.
So we're going to jump into our guests because we do have a studio full of guests. We have Doug Ponsler. He is the gaming chair for St. Christopher's Festival. We have AJ Plew. He is the festival chair of food and beverage. Another hint about what might be in the middle of our table there. It's not a beverage. And we have Father Matt Tucci. He is the associate pastor of St. Christopher's. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, it's festival time. It is festival time. We are in the heat of the battle, if you will. I love it. It's kind of like gearing up towards State Fair, and then State Fair is in August, and then the festival's usually, you know, well, the French Market is in September. Mm-hmm. But this is like all the festivals, and they all have a different flavor. They're all a little bit different. So we want to hear all about St. Christopher's. But first, let's get to know you guys a little bit better. Let's start with AJ Plew. Tell us a little bit about your family and where do you live, and what do you do between 9 and 5?
Well, actually, I live in Speedway, Indiana, just down from St. Christopher Church. My wife, Katie, and I have been married now for 12 years, and we have three children.
God bless you. Yes, exactly.
And the youngest of which actually still attends St. Christopher School.
Is Long's Donuts is right there, isn't it?
Yes, and we actually feature Long's Donuts at the festival as well.
Oh, I tell you, my daughter got married at the end of May, May 27th, and she had a small cake. But she had Long's Donuts for the the cream-filled Long Johns. Oh,
yeah, the best.
Oh, so and they didn't skimp on the cream fill. They did not. Long's Donuts, I'm telling you, this isn't an endorsement for them, but it's an endorsement for them.
I doubt if MJ knows the names of any streets in town.
I don't.
But she can tell you it's right near St. Alphonsus by the bakery where they have the Catholic churches and bakeries.
And bakeries, all one of
them. Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay, Doug Ponsler, you're the gaming chair for the festival.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about you. So how long have you been married? Where do you live?
I live on the west side of Indianapolis near Ben Davis High School.
Oh, sure.
I've been married, for 32 years now.
Oh,
we just
God
celebrated our anniversary.
God bless you.
I have two wonderful children, and I have just, my daughter just had a child, and so I have a wonderful grandchild.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, she's awesome.
Just a little peanut, just like months, weeks old?
She's 14 months. I'm sorry. No, 14 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Oh. See, that's still at the point where they nuzzle into your neck, and you just, one hand will hold their little bottom, you know, as they nuzzle into your neck. Oh.
So awesome. Give us the best toothless grin I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Oh, God bless you. Okay, and Father Matt Tucci and listeners, I tell you, when Barb Brinkman told me what the priest's name, I thought, Tucci, that is so unusual. I know that that name sounds familiar, and I thought immediately Stanley Tucci, because he's a method actor that I really like him. He's been in a lot of stuff. And then I saw Father, and I thought, it's undoubtedly you are related to him. I mean, Italian. I mean, aren't all Italians related in some way, shape, or form? Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
To about everybody in the world.
About everybody in the world. So welcome, Father. And I wonder, ever since the year of the priest, actually, and before, when we have a guest, a consecrated guest, and especially a priest, we ask them if they'll tell us a little bit about their vocation story. We all love to hear stories, and it might encourage someone to follow a similar path. So tell us, regale us, Father.
Okay, so I'm what you call baby priest right now, what people in our circle say baby priest. So it's my first year of being a priest. I just got ordained last year.
Oh.
In the cathedral.
Yes. A rookie.
Uh-oh. A rookie.
A rookie, okay.
A rookie. Well, I should say I'm not from Indianapolis, first and foremost. I'm actually originally from Louisville, Kentucky.
Ooh,
yeah,
go
so
cards.
We have the other, yeah.
Go cards.
So we have the other race down there too, and I didn't. what do I want to say? I guess I didn't realize just how awesome the Indianapolis 500 is, because I always just had the Derby, and they're completely different things.
Oh,
but
sure.
I love both of them now. I should say
ours lasts a little longer.
Little bit longer.
Oh, Louisville. I love Louisville. I lived there for 10 years in St. Matthews.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so you grew up in Louisville.
Until about middle school age, then I moved to Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, yeah. from the frying pan into the fire.
Oh yeah, and then went to Purdue University after that. Yeah.
Wait a second, you lived in Bloomington and went to
Purdue. Yes, all three of us did. My older brother, me, and my little sister. All three of us went to Purdue University.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So
okay. So when did you first hear the call?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I would say vocations. It's a compilation of your experience throughout your life and how God speaks to you and the Holy Spirit speaks to you throughout your entire life. So it's not, there's never an aha moment. At least there wasn't with me, and there isn't for most people in their entire lives, because, you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through your commitments. He speaks to you through, you know, the way you interact with your family, your friends, all that kind of stuff. It all kind of comes in. But I'm very lucky I had a mother that prayed for me all the time. I really am. And, you know, growing up in Louisville, it's a pretty Catholic city, and my neighborhood was Catholic. It was pretty Catholic as well. My parish, St. Edward's, was in the neighborhood, so we were always involved with that. Once we moved to Bloomington, that wasn't the case, though. Bloomington didn't have that same kind of feel. So we were a little less involved in the parish because it was farther away.
Right.
But still involved nonetheless. My parents made sure that all of us were still involved, no matter what kind of trouble we got into or anything like that. We were still at Mass every Sunday, and, you know, going to CCD or doing some kind of extracurricular activity or anything like that. But anyways, you know, I was 17 years old, and I'm 30 now. Ooh, I'm getting old. I'm 30 now, and what ended up happening was my pastor actually asked my mother. I was 17. If I would consider, you know, being a priest. And my mom kind of relayed that to me, and I kind of said, no, I don't even want to talk. I don't want to talk about that. Went to Purdue after that, you know, studied advertising, public relations, and art and design. Sure. Art's kind of a hobby of mine. I'm not professionally good, but I still like to draw and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, mom still kept praying for me, you know. Whether that helped immediately, I did not see that, but it certainly did, because I kind of fell away from the church for a few years.
Sure.
And then about 3 years into college, I hit a little rut, sort of an existential rut, you know.
Yeah.
Does life have life has ultimate meaning or it doesn't.
Sure.
You know, either God loves us or what.
Right.
You know, so I decided, you know, I need to take responsibility about this before God, of my life, to really try to live a good person, seek his mercy, and to show his mercy to others. So basically around my senior year of Purdue, I decided, okay, time to think about this, you know, time to think about sacramental ministry as a priest, to give that life in those very specific instances of people's lives. These are the most important part of their lives is where God literally touches them. And I said, I'm going to give this a shot. So, you know, graduated you know, worked for, you know, about a year or so before I went to seminary. I actually worked down at St. Anthony at in Holy Trinity down on the near west side in Hallville for about a year.
Oh, yeah. Or so. Yeah, sure.
And then after that year passed, I went to St. Meinrad for 2 years. And that was a blast. I loved it. Learned philosophy there, so I mean, you get pretty well educated in how to think, I should say.
But was there anything between the existential moment where you thought God either exists, and everything that we've, you know, taught in our infancy and confirmation, First Holy Communion, catechism classes, it all makes sense and all comes together in a beautiful tapestry, or it doesn't, and we're going to turn to worm food when we die.
It's more so of a was mercy there something thing. It's more of a mercy. It was more of a mercy thing, you know. I mean, I started going back to Mass again with one of my good buddies, Eduardo. And then after that, you know, I started going to daily Mass after that, okay?
Oh, so it was a gradual.
It wasn't a bang moment.
If you're just now tuning in, listeners, we're talking with Father Matt Tucci, and he is the associate pastor at St. Christopher's. Although, interestingly enough, I noticed in the assignments this time, they're not calling them pastors anymore. They referred to them as, administrators is the...
Well, so how that
yeah, so how tell that us, works? What's the deal?
So canonically, since we don't have an archbishop, administrator, the person who's administrating our diocese, cannot name pastors.
Right, got it.
Because that's a proper canonical.
Right. Got it. Yes.
He could only name administrators until after a year. Right. So if we don't have a bishop within a year, I think I might be rusty on this, but I'm fairly positive, 99% sure that pastors can actually be named after that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Right. So that's why the verbiage. Okay,
but administrator, I mean, it's basically a de facto pastor. Right. It's just not the proper term for it.
Right. Okay, so you started going to daily Mass,
mm-hmm.
and so the mercy thing kicked in, and
Well, it took a while for me to go to confession after that, actually.
Yeah.
I was invited to adoration with the Purdue Catholic students on a Tuesday night, and I remember... You know, it was years since I went to go talk to God.
Sure.
In the confessional. And I went, and you know, there is so much weight on my soul, about everything.
Sure.
You know, everything that I've done, everything that I've experienced, all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of laid it out on the line. I poured my soul to the priest and well to God.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in the middle of my I was sobbing like choking up and all that. I go, Father, I deserve to go to hell. and he looked over at me, and he goes, yes, Matt, you do deserve to go to hell. but luckily Jesus has our backs. Thank him for it.
Yeah.
And that was a big turning point. And then I went on a retreat, you know, a couple months later, and I had this little anonymous note written to me saying, I can tell God has great things planned for you.
Oh my.
And then I was just like, okay, it's time to start seriously thinking about it. And then went to seminary two years later.
Forever. And that's when you fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. And then 2 years at St. Meinrad, lived in Rome for 2 years, and then got sent back. And then I got back here 11 months ago. And I've been at St. Christopher ever since with these fine people. Yeah.
Hot off the press.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I'm trying to think if we're just out of and still in your first year. Because in your first year, priests in their first year of priesthood, when they give a blessing, it's supposed to be pretty powerful. It is, Father.
It is.
There are some that
I didn't
say,
know that.
Yes. There are some in your first year of priesthood, if you are in your first year of priesthood, and you offer a blessing for someone, and believe it or not, and if they go to confession and they go to Mass and offer prayers for the Holy Father, for a priest in his first year, you are offered a plenary indulgence for that. So that's pretty powerful. Listeners, listen up at the end. We may be giving a blessing here over the airwaves.
We've got to take a break right here. We'll be right back in just a moment. And early in the program, we teased about the large green object in the table.
We'll tell you what it is.
It's still there, and we'll tell you all about it when we get back.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today from St. Christopher Catholic Church near the Speedway, we have Doug Punsler. He is the gaming chair for the festival. We have A.J. Plew. He is the food and beverage chair for the festival.
I'll bet he's got something to do with the object on the table.
He does. He does. And we're going to talk about it. And we have Father Matt Tucci. He is the associate pastor for St. Christopher's. And I think now we should have the big reveal of, I've already stuck my finger in it a couple times. It is tasty. It is beautiful. There is, I'm just going to say that I'm pretty sure that's buttercream on top. I'm guessing.
Okay, so who?
AJ looks kind of like he might know something about this. What the heck is that? And can I please have a bite of it?
You certainly may have a bite. That is one of our famous cakes, one of the things we're really well known for at St. Christopher's. We had a parishioner who is now deceased. Her name was Juanita Clark, and her and her husband would produce about 55 cakes per year and donate to the festival. And there was multiple variety. She did a Swedish nut cake and red velvet cake and, you know, all the different brands that, you know, that she did over the years she was known for. But she was really well known for her pistachio cake.
Ooh.
And every year people would go through the line picking out, you know, they could tell by the icing and the way the cakes looked that they were Juanita's cakes. And so they would be kind of pointing out as they're walking through the food line, and they would grab, I want, you know, Juanita's pistachio, or I want the Swedish nut cake or the hummingbird cake and all that. And Merrick, she was so well known for it that when she died, her family had her mass card printed, and the backside of it was her pistachio cake recipe was on the back of it for the funeral. And of course, the festival committee always, you know, those people that really have gone above and beyond. We had her cake, or her flowers from the festival committee, was a pistachio cake. They did a green mums in the shape of a cake on a cake stand and sent it to her. So she was a really special person. But the festival has continued on all of her recipes. Now it's grown quite a bit. Juanita couldn't make all the cakes that we make now in her kitchen. So Saturday, a group of about eight of us were down in the kitchen all day. And over about 10 hours, we produced about 340 rounds of cake. And we're about a little over halfway done. We're working again this weekend on the, you know, the other cakes, and then we start on pie next. That'll be the next big thing that we do, is the pies.
Okay, so we're talking about cakes and pies, but tell us a little bit about the festival. I mean, I know that over the course of the whole summer,
yep,
there are so, from the Italian festival, really at the beginning of the summer, to you know, Saint Joan of Arc, they have their French market. They're so different and have so many different flavors. Excuse the pun, but tell us a little bit about Saint Christopher's. So, what is this? Is it a small neighborhood festival? Are there rides? And do you have a cake wheel? I mean, what is there?
We have a little bit of everything. The festival this year is actually, we're celebrating our 80th anniversary.
Oh,
The festival, the first festival, what they called a lawn festival, was actually held in conjunction with the very first mass that was held at St. Christopher's.
Oh,
and that
goodness.
Was Labor Day weekend of 1937. And then it became, and then they had it the next few years, then it became a true festival open to the public in 1941. It was canceled in 1942 for the 1 year because of the attack on Pearl Harbor, but we've been continuous since 1943. So this will make our 80th year this year.
Okay. All right. So do you have, I know in Louisville, when we lived in Louisville, you knew, like St. Agnes had the, you know, the fried chicken dinner, whatever. There was one who had the Italian dinner. I mean, you knew there were definitely dinners, and they were known by their dinners in Louisville. It was, they've got this dinner, and they've got this dinner, and they've got this. It's a little bit different in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm,
but do you have a big dinner? Do you have like festival food, like corn dogs and sausage? And
we have everything. Basically, if it's out there, we're like a mini state fair, basically,
okay,
at St. Chris.
Right.
The festival's, you know, the St. Christopher Midsummer Festival, it's known as the festival that's tops in food. That was the nickname given to the festival back in the 1930s. There's been three different cookbooks related to that, you know, over the years because of the festival. But it was fish. Basically, it was built around fish.
Okay.
sandwiches, hand battered cod, Icelandic cod that's brought in. We do about 2 tons of fish during that two days, and of course we hand batter it. When you know Doug and I first really got started with the festival, we were actually hand we were cutting the fish ourselves.
Oh my goodness!
And we had to go away from that, but we do still hand batter the fish. Back in the 50s, they did a big fried chicken dinner on Saturday evenings, but we haven't done that in a number of years. But we make our own homemade barbecue sauce, our homemade barbecue and Coney sauce. Original 1937 recipes are still being used.
Yep.
So we do. We have a Filipino group of parishioners that put on a tremendous food tent that they have all the traditional, the egg rolls and the kebabs we did.
Oh my goodness!
Almost 600 kebabs this morning, chicken kebabs, and got them ready and had them frozen.
But well, you're talking about a lot of food. How much goes into this manpower wise and hour wise?
We are probably 6 weeks of nonstop work.
Really?
Building and freezing and getting ready for the event.
And how many people?
We average probably in the 45,000 range over the three-day period.
This is your single biggest fundraiser of the year,
yes.
For sure.
Okay, so tell us a little bit. We're talking about the festival. We're talking with Doug Ponsler and Father Matt Tucci and A.J. Plew. A little bit about the festival, a little bit about St. Christopher's. But you mentioned the 80th anniversary of St. Christopher's. So So Father, you kind of came in, and this is the 79th year. Now we're in the 80th year. This is a rich tradition here. I wonder if you could tell us, you're kind of in the backdrop of the, well, you mentioned it earlier when you were talking, that the 500 is right in your backyard. Does that affect your parish life at all, or parishioners at all during the year?
Well, just two weeks ago, I walked out of my house at 7 o'clock in the morning, and my lawn was a parking lot. In that sense, it does. It's so cool being in the shadow of the Speedway.
Well, you're supposed to charge for that, you know.
You're
supposed to get that goes to the youth ministry. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, because that's premium. That's premium parking.
It really is.
Yeah. We actually don't have Mass on Sundays. We have two Masses on Saturday. I believe St. Gabriel's the same way. That because the two parishes are so close to the Motor Speedway, with the police, they pretty much tell us we can't have Masses on those Sundays.
Sure. So that's pretty much a given, and everybody knows it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what do you have planned for the 80th year? Do you have any specific plans to commemorate the 80th year of St. Christopher?
Well, we're excited to announce that we have Pokeboy coming back this year. Pokeboy played with us for probably a good 8 to 10 years, and they've been gone for about 3 years, but we got them back. So a Saturday night, kind of our big finale to the festival, will be Pokeboy will be playing. Friday evening, we have the Endless Summer Band will be playing. Tradition at the festival for years, there's a big tree in the corner of St. Chris on the corner of 16th and Lyndhurst, and that tree for years was decorated at Christmas, and during the festival that tree would they would ring it with ponies, and they would have pony rides around this large tree in the front yard. We're bringing back a pony ride group, and we're having a small petting zoo. Don't tell Father Matt, but it's going to be in his yard. So we'll be running ponies and all that over there.
I'm guessing the rest
as long as I don't have to clean it all up.
Yeah.
A different kind of parking.
That's nasty.
No parking sign. So the rectory must be right immediately adjacent to the parish, to the church, yes?
Sort of. Okay. Yeah, so it's I live right across the street from the school parking lot.
Oh, I'll keep those kids in line.
They keep me in line. They keep it.
And St. Christopher's a little bit different than most schools because it's not a K-8,
it's
K right?
K-6, I should say, yes.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's your first year. So you're coming up ending almost your first year of priesthood. Father, tell us a little bit. Was it everything you expected? Biggest surprise? What do you think?
You know, they always say there's nothing like that first year of priesthood, and because seminary is just so different. You know, seminary, you're living in an institutional setting, you're going to school, you're doing your ministry on top of that. So, I mean, you have your life pretty kind of laid out every day.
Sure.
You know, when you're a priest, you don't know what's happening. You do have your scheduled events of the day, but then everything else during the day just kind of comes up, whether it be a hospital visit or anything of that sort. But my favorite part I always thought that confessions were going to be my favorite part of being a new priest, but it's actually going and anointing people before they die to go see the Lord. Yes. That is my favorite part of being a priest.
Oh, I love that.
To have them touch them right before they pass on.
Right, right.
To have them touch Jesus on his cross right there.
Oh, I love that.
Awesome.
I love that.
Yes, beautiful.
I don't know if you've had this experience, but Father, now Monsignor Schwarzkopf used to tell the story when he was a brand spanking new priest. A parishioner was called to a house, and she had a devotion to the Sacred Heart. And mm-hmm. one of the promises is that you will have the sacraments before you die, or blessing before you die, mm-hmm. if you have a devotion to the Sacred Heart. Called to a house, the parishioner was already dead, and was told, don't go up there because she's already passed. And he said, well, heck, should I or should I not? Should I or should I not? And he thought, I'm here. I've got my stole. I'm just going to go up and give her a blessing. And so he went up. And in the middle of blessing her, in the middle of anointing this woman, she sat upright in the bed and grabbed his hand and said, Father, I waited for you. And she died a moment or two later.
Oh, wow.
So the incredible thing was, and I'm getting chills right now, is that he struggled, but he kind of had this little interlocution. Go ahead and bless her. He said, of course, I know now being a priest, he told that when he'd probably been a priest 30 or 40 years, that he's advised that once they're dead, really, you shouldn't be giving them a blessing or no need to. But he said that he tells that story all the time. You never know.
That's a really cool story.
Yeah, really cool story. Our guests today on Faith in Action, we have Doug Ponsler, we have A.J. Plew, both involved with the festival at St. Christopher's.
Again, for the
July 13th, 14th, and 15th, Thursday through Saturday.
And St. Christopher's is where?
Located at the corner of 16th and Lyndhurst and Speedway.
And, of course, Father Matt Tucci has already ordered the wonderful weather for the event. It's going to be wonderful and glorious. Yep. And on that note, if you would offer us your blessing just to continue all the blessings.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May Almighty God send down his Holy Spirit. Enlighten our hearts, enlighten our ears to hear his word, and to enlighten all of us this day. And God bless all of us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.